Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. As ever, I'm Lewis Duncan, and joining me all the way from Japan this week is Motorsport.com's global MotoGP editor, Oriol Puigdemont. And in another dramatic twist to his 2019 season, ousted KTM rider Johan Zarco has been given another shot at redemption in MotoGP as he will take over Takaaki Nakagami's LCR Honda for the final three rounds of the season. And, well, first of all, you broke this news to us last week on Autosport and Motorsport.com. A big shock, I think, for everyone. There seems to be a big school of thought that this is all part of a plan from Honda to evaluate Zarco for next year, because of course they've got a problem at the factory team. Lorenzo's performances aren't great, and there's still no guarantee he's going to be on the grid next year. Zarco out of a ride. Obviously Honda wanted Zarco last year, or for this year. It all seems to be a very convenient situation, I think is the best way to describe it.
I think that Honda was trying to get the most of the situation, trying to work on a difficult move, which is the Nakagami being obligated to take that surgery on the shoulder. And then Honda just tried to put on the bike the best possible option, the best option possible. So I think it's a brave move from Honda, because it is not guaranteed that Zarco will be faster and more comfortable with the Honda than he was with KTM. Brave move from Honda. And then it's a really good chance for him to show his potential and to recover the good feelings on the bike. So I think it's a good way to solve a problem from both sides.
Just quickly mention Nakagami. He is having surgery after the Japanese Grand Prix this weekend on a shoulder injury. A similar shoulder injury to that Marc Marquez suffered last year, which was very complicated injury and required a lot of recovery time. So this is a sensible decision, you have to say, from Honda and LCR to let Nakagami recover.
Yeah, first of all, I spoke with a few doctors after the press release was out. Was published, the Nakagami one, and they tell me that it's not exactly the same surgery or the same problem that Mark had. In English, what Nakagami has is called slap, which is something on one of the fibers of the shoulder is damaged. But he is not suffering the same than Mark did. I mean, when Mark had this problem quite often, then the shoulder
was out of the shoulder.
Exactly. So it's a bit different than that. Again, what Nakagami, what Idemitsu and LCR did was trying to find the best option possible.
This has been mentioned before this year. Cal Crutchlow said, actually, if Zarco was on the Honda this year, he would probably still be struggling. But he's going on to the 2018 Honda, which was a much more friendly bike. Crutchlow won on it. I mean, Crutchlow was set for a top three in the championship last year before his ankle injury. It's a bike that Lorenzo said he felt safer on during when he first rode it in November in Jerez and Valencia.
He was quite fast.
Both Zarco. Yeah, he was very fast. And you have to remember as well, he came back. He'd only just come back from his wrist injury, and he was fifth fastest at Jerez. Nakagami topped that test on the same bike. Zarco and Lorenzo have very similar riding styles, so although this is a difficult bike, it seems like this will suit Zarco a bit more, this 2018 bike anyway.
Well, I think that will be a less shock for him if we compare with the 2019 bike. So with this bike, he would be much more, in trouble or, risking. With last year's bike, I think he will be a bit more comfortable because, I mean, don't forget that, as you mentioned, he has like those smooth style coming from Yamaha. So I think, yeah, this bike Lorenzo was very comfortable with in Valencia, in Valencia, and especially in Jerez last November. So yeah, I don't see. I think it's the best, the best way to jump into the Honda is to try to jump into last year's bike.
Zarco's only got 3 races, so it's not a lot of time to evaluate anything. You have to perhaps think as well that maybe Honda might ask Zarco to do a bit of testing in Valencia just because he's there. But is there really a realistic chance that Zarco could take Lorenzo's place at Honda next year?
I don't see any reason to give Zarco this chance if you know that you will not be able to keep it next year. So, you know what I mean? So that's the only thing I can say at the moment, because I'm not saying that Honda will give him the shot next year, the chance next year, but what it's very difficult to think for me is that Honda is offering him this opportunity, those 3 races, knowing that it would be impossible to get, to have the chance to get him also next year. You know what I mean? So that's the only way that I can, say the situation if I don't know if I help.
I agree, because if you have to think, if it wasn't for that, they would just put Bradle on the bike, Honda test rider. You know, he's not going to race next year, or not full time anyway. So, you know, you have to think that a safer option would have been Bradle, because he knows the bike. But so I very much agree with your sort of assessment
Honda is not there. It's not there to just compete for a safe mode.
Honda
is not competing in a safe mode. I mean, especially since Alberto Puig has arrived into the team, he's doing a really brave smooch. Only the time will let us know if he was right or he was wrong. But he's very brave on taking this kind of opportunities and taking this kind of moves. So he had the chance to get Lorenzo. He went for it. Now he's had the chance to get Zarco. Boom. He's get for it. So I think that's the... It was a really shocking move, but at the same time, I think it's a really good move. And then let's see what happens. But I think for us it's much better to have Zarco on that bike and see how he adapts to this bike.
Yeah, and for Zarco as well, we can't forget, this is a guy that struggled this year, but this is a guy that's a 2-time Moto2 world champion. You know, you don't win world championships by accident. You know, it's clearly a very talented rider, and he deserves a place on the MotoGP grid. And I think even if this 3 race stint from Australia, Sepang and Valencia doesn't lead him back onto the grid next year, at the very least, it can rebuild his confidence, and it can, for him and for the rest of the world, it can prove that the problem this year was always the KTM. It was not his riding. And I think more than anything, that's perhaps the most important thing, is that Zarco can prove to everyone that, you know, look, it was all the bike. I tried my best, but there was nothing I could have done.
Don't forget the initial point of all the story. Zarco was Honda's first option to be Mark's teammate for this season. But his former manager decided to, that's what he says. I'm not going into if it was his manager's decision or the rider's decision. But anyway, Zarco was Honda's first option to jump into Honda in HRC this year. And he, or his manager, decided to sign for KTM. So, in a way, and Honda was convinced that this guy was gonna be really fast. Let's see if they were and they are right or wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a really interesting three races, and like I say, it's Zarco's. We can't deny Zarco's talent, and it's. I do wonder though, is there perhaps if he does go really well in this Honda, I wonder what this will do for the 2021 rider market, because if Zarco doesn't do so well in the Honda, I wonder then does Honda maybe look at say Paul Espargaro for 2021, because then they can see that actually it was this one rider who was outperforming the bike, a bike that's very almost. It requires a bit of an aggressive style like Marquez has seen. So I wonder, will this have a play on the 2021 rider market? Will Honda look elsewhere?
It's difficult for me to think that KTM will let Paul leave.
Honda would have to come with a big checkbook, and we can't forget that Honda and KTM don't like each other. Sure. I still remember that that launch from KTM in 2017 where, was it Stefan Piera said Honda's my most hated rival, so yeah, certainly but, it would be quite difficult.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the relationship between Honda and KTM, because I remember KTM, Mr. Peter, saying or accusing Honda to just, mistreated or Dani Pedrosa and Alberto, hitting back. Peter saying, I would love to see Zarco in 10 years' time racing with KTM. And then, just 6 months later, we will see Zarco not in a KTM, but in a Honda. So
yeah.
It's a very
a very good point.
It's a very surprising and interesting picture, the one we have now. So I would go to Mr. P and say, what do you think about this current situation and what you said on the past, and the same with Honda. So I mean, Honda actually didn't say nothing accusing KTM. It was KTM, Mr. Peter hitting Honda. Straight away, but yeah, I mean this situation, it's funny.
Yeah, and it's funny because it all sort of stemmed back to Moto3, the first days of Moto3, when KTM accused Honda of bringing like a prototype sort of race bike, and it was a strange.
Yeah,
it was almost like playground back and forth. Really, it was a bit silly.
To be honest, it's a bit difficult for me to understand KTM strategy in the lower classes. So
really?
I remember,
how so?
I mean, especially in Moto2, I remember being in a conversation with Mr. Peter in Jerez, and he was pushing very hard Moto2 guys, telling me that, yeah, I'm not really happy. I'm actually a bit angry with the Moto2 project, because we need to recover that gap that we've lost with all the Kalex and so. And then suddenly they decided to shut the project down in Moto2. So it was a bit, whoa, what's going on here? To me at the beginning was not a really clear project, because you are racing with a Triumph engine. So, and then it was a, whoa, it will be only a KTM frame. And so it was difficult for me to understand. But now it's even more difficult to consider that in 5 months different, they started to, from pushing to the maximum, to shut down the project.
It's strange, because it was a strange project to begin with. You are right, but at the same point, it did produce Miguel Oliveira to the MotoGP team. It's brought Brad Binder up as well. It did work, at least in bringing up KTM's talent. And you have to think right now that only KTM riders can really ride a KTM bike properly. So it's it's kind of strange. You're going to bring, they're going to bring their Moto 3 riders from a KTM, put them on a Kalex or a Suter or whatever for Moto 2, and then try and bring them up to MotoGP again, which is trying to work between those chassis for a rider is going to be quite difficult.
Yeah, it will be even more shock. It will be a shock for them once they will have to jump into the MotoGP. Mm. Definitely.
So just going back, just to round it off, going back to Zarco, what do you expect from him from these final three races? What do you think he can do on the bike? You have to. I personally think that he'll find it easier to get into the top 10 on that Honda than he would have done on the KTM.
Well, I think that jumping to a new bike for the first time of his, let's say, life, and pretending him to be in the top 10 will be not, I mean, it's not the right approach, because it's asking a bit too much for him, especially in a track like Phillip Island. But I don't know. We will have to compare him with Lorenzo first of all.
Yeah. Well, and then, see, that's the interesting thing, because if Zarco comes in and beats Lorenzo straight away,
he can even damage more Lorenzo.
Different bikes. Yeah, so there's a real... And that kind of thinking about it, the whole Honda thing, Honda evaluating Zarco, perhaps that's... Maybe in the back of Honda's mind, that's the aim, is to use Zarco to force Lorenzo to go, do you know what, I can't do anything else in this bike, I'm packing up and going home.
We were talking with Germán, which is another editor, MotoGP editor from Motorsport, and he wrote a story, an interesting story, saying that Zarco is the Honda's upgrade on Lorenzo's bike. So it's it's the final piece that Lorenzo needs to be faster. Let's see which kind of impact Zarco has on Lorenzo's performance in Phillip Island, because I think will be very interesting to compare them. And he, again, I think Zarco can put Lorenzo even more in trouble than where he is now.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what Zarco can do on the bike. I think it's going to be interesting. And I'm glad to see him back on a bike. The way this whole season's gone, it's for a rider of that talent, it's not correct, is it?
It was a shame. It was a pity to losing him from the MotoGP grid. Again, what happened is that we have to be very careful on evaluate riders from Yamaha. I'm not saying Quartararo, I'm not saying, of course, that Maverick or blah, blah, blah. But I'm just saying that maybe we need more inputs, different inputs, than just rider performance on a Yamaha. Especially if we have, like, this Quartararo's case, that he is, don't get me wrong, he's a phenomenon. But we need more inputs just to put him on the very, high of the pyramid. So we need to evaluate and to have more inputs to judge him.
With the whole Zarco situation with Lorenzo as well not going well in the Honda, being an ex-Yamaha rider, you have to wonder that going forward, has this situation put a block on Yamaha riders going anywhere other than a Yamaha bike or a Suzuki, which is sort of similar to the Yamaha?
Which is interesting is that many people thought that Zarco's deal with Yamaha was done already. And then, what would you think? I mean, do you think that if Honda gives him a chance for next year, he will decide to stay with Honda as a full-time rider, or respect this agreement? I'm not saying deal or contract with Yamaha as a test rider. So, I think there's no point to talk about it. But Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny because Yamaha in Buriram told us, no, we have created this new test team with Galbusera, and now he will be very happy to work with Zarco, and then, boom.
But that is a good point about Galbusera, Rossi's crew chief, because he sounded quite enthusiastic about working with Zarco.
Maybe so a bit less that, 1 week after.
Yeah, so you have to wonder, you know, what that's going to do for the whole Yamaha test team. How are they going to go about that now? Because they might need to find a new rider now.
Yes, they are not. They didn't want to keep working with Folger, so that's why they changed their mind and decided to sign Zarco. But I'm not sure. I don't think this deal is done already, so maybe or if he's done and Honda gives Zarco a chance next year, he will find a way to break this contract.
Thank you ever so much for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard there, you can find us on all the podcasts and channels. We've got Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts via iTunes and Spotify as well. So just search for Tank Slappers, and please do give us a rating on iTunes if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you ever so much to Yuri for joining me again, all the way from Japan. And we will be back next week to discuss more things, MotoGP. I'm sure it'll be, just because the championship's won doesn't mean it's not going to be a dramatic weekend, so I'm sure there'll be lots to talk about then. But until then, it is a very warm goodbye.